This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. If you've ever stuffed your used clothing into one of the many yellow donation boxes in your city, thinking you were doing a good deed, well, think again. The boxes, labeled Planet Aid, suggest donating clothing, shoes, and other items, but an ongoing investigative reporting project by Reveal has found that Planet Aid is one of several organizations that are part of a Danish group called simply the Teachers Group, and that your used goods are mostly benefiting the pocketbooks of its executives rather than people in need. Amy Walters is a reporter and producer for Reveal. She's won multiple awards for her journalism, including two Peabodys and an Edward R. Murrow Award. She now joins me to discuss her investigation of Planet Aid. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you, Sonali. Nice to be here.
So you and your collaborators on this project began investigating this organization. What started you off on this thing? I feel like we sort of take for granted these boxes that we see everywhere. The ads are slick, you know, they have online ads. It's kind of a, you know, nice sounding idea that people in the West would donate their used goods that they're not using anymore, and that these would eventually benefit somebody somewhere on the other side of the planet. It sounds like a global organization. What started you off to investigate this group?
Sure. I've been working on this with Matt Smith. He's been at Reveal a little bit longer than I have. I came here to join the radio team, which we started about a year ago. And, you know, the boxes are something, like you mentioned, that you just you see everywhere. I think they're in at least 20 states. Planet Aid seems to change the number a little bit from 21 to 22. And I just want to be clear, though, that the boxes weren't, we didn't follow the money from the boxes. The money that we followed was money that Planet Aid is getting from the U.S. government, from taxpayers. So
right.
Actually, even if you don't put clothes in the boxes, if you're paying taxes in the United States, you're giving money to this organization. And so we followed those projects through the USDA.
Yeah.
We're looking into the boxes more now you know, they are part of the same organization, like you said.
So let's talk about the organization itself before we get into how the USDA has funded it, funded Planet Aid. What is the Teachers Group? It's a Danish organization, and among the Danish and the Danish press and Danish society, it is sort of relatively well known that the Teachers Group is a shady organization, right?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. You know, the Danes almost have I would almost describe it as a love-hate relationship, depending on who you talk to. I mean, there are a lot of people in Denmark have actually been part of this organization in the 1970s when it got started. It was started as one of the first largest communes in Denmark. It was an anti-war, anti-nuclear organization. A lot of the ideals that they were purporting were ideals that a lot of people had at the time, and they were ideas that a lot of people agreed with, and a lot of people that we spoke with in this reporting had joined up and loved the organization. It was only later on, a few years into it, as Amdi Petersen, Mogens Amdi Petersen, and this is his full name, most people just refer to him as Amdi, took the helm. And slowly, as the years passed, it became obvious that he was this dynamic figure. Everybody said as soon as he walked in a room, he demanded attention, despite the fact that he was quiet. You wouldn't necessarily first know it, but maybe that's how these things go. So he ended up starting all these schools. They're known commonly in Denmark as Tvind, or Twins, as they pronounce it in Danish. And they still have schools in Denmark. But what they ended up doing was a lot of these charity projects. And eventually in early 2000, an investigation that started in late 1990s and turned into a court case in Denmark in 2000, tried a number of the top members of this organization, including Amdi himself. That was just in a small town called Ringkøbing. It was their municipal court. Only one person was convicted in that trial, but it was one of the highest up in the organization, and it was someone that they had actually seen placing money from the organization into someplace it shouldn't have been. Within days of that trial, after several others were acquitted, including Amdi. There was a new trial. They set in place a new trial with a higher court. But by then, Amdi Peterson and many others of his colleagues had already left the country. And he actually, you know, ended up traveling the world. He was in Miami for a while. They have a big place in Zimbabwe, which you can read about in the story. And he stayed there for a while. And most recently, we've heard reported from several people that we spoke to who have encountered him recently that he's in this palatial compound they have in Baja California, Mexico, in a town called Las Pulgas.
So the leader or a leader, main leader, who seems to have this sort of cult of personality, Mogens Amdi Peterson, is essentially a wanted man. He's a fugitive.
Exactly. He was placed back on Interpol's most wanted list in 2013 because of this outstanding arrest warrant in Denmark. And actually, just in the past couple of months, he's been asking the Mexican government for some sort of asylum, a humanitarian visa. They denied that, and it was tweeted. There were tweets going out in the Danish media. There was a press conference between the Mexican president and the president of Denmark where they actually discussed it. And it turns out he didn't get the humanitarian visa, but that doesn't mean that he'll be forced to leave Mexico anytime soon. As far as we know, he's still there.
So what is his exact position with the organization, with either the teachers group or even Planet Aid?
Right. The link between him and Planet Aid is, I mentioned the Danish court case. There were also, and I mentioned that Amdi Peterson came to the United States. He was living in Florida. So there were FBI documents. The FBI had been informed by Denmark, officials in Denmark, that Amdi Peterson was in Miami. And there are documents from that time inquiring about his whereabouts there and what he was doing, and linking Amdi Peterson, at the time a fugitive from the law, with Planet Aid and several other teachers group organizations. And in that document, it also cites the existence of the teachers group and that a lot of the money, I believe, I don't have the exact quote right now, but a lot of the money that was supposed to go to these charities like Planet Aid didn't end up there.
So let's talk about the USDA. The U.S. Department of Agriculture teamed up with, essentially gave money to Planet Aid to start the so-called Farmers Club in a poor African country named Malawi. Tell us what exactly the intention was of this project. And you, I understand, traveled to Malawi to see if they were performing the way they were supposed to?
That's right. When we traveled there, we went to see, it was one of the numerous projects they had. We decided they fund projects, the USDA funds Planet Aid projects in Mozambique and Malawi. It was a little easier for us to communicate in English in Malawi, which is one of the reasons we chose there. Plus, it's literally one of the poorest countries in the world. And what they were doing with these farmers club projects is they were trying to feed people. That was the whole point, is that people would be able to grow more food through these programs where they would teach them better agriculture techniques. And they would be able to not only feed themselves, but potentially sell food at the market and establish a better way of living. In the reports that the Planet Aid sent to the USDA, talking about their the success of their project and the reports that they put online, and the actual numbers that they cite of how much the projects improve the lives of the people there vary slightly. But in most of the reports, they say that their lives or their situations almost doubled as far as what they were able to, the food they were able to eat, how they were able to maintain a living for themselves. Their standard of living, I guess I could say, almost doubled. But when we went there, we went there after the projects had finished, but there wasn't signs of any of that. I mean, we went to four different farmers clubs, and we talked to numerous people there, and no one that we talked to said that they had actually improved at all.
So even if you don't put your used clothing into Planet Aid's yellow boxes, our tax dollars have contributed to a program through the U.S. government with this shady organization that looks like it hasn't had much of any impact in Malawi.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it from we spoke to the project managers. I'm sorry, there's a train going on right now. We spoke with the project managers. We spoke with farmers. One farmer we spoke to said he had received a goat and one pig, but these goats and pigs were supposed to reproduce. They were supposed to yield to new goats and pigs so that they could, you know, continue to live off of them.
Well, he was given one goat and one pig, and yeah, they expected the goat and the pig to multiply in singles.
Exactly. Of course, they died eventually. And then another incident that we saw that was kind of amazing is one of the projects they had was to deliver these rope pumps. And I guess in some ways they're sort of ingenious in their simplicity. It's a bicycle wheel and a rope, and it gets water from the ground. But I mean, they were much cheaper than the all metal pumps, water pumps that the Malawian government had installed. Regardless, you know, in these very rural areas, they were very important. And so one of the project managers we spoke to, he had thought initially, and it's unclear what gave him this impression, but that this village was supposed to get 25 rope pumps. It turns out, no, they were only supposed to get one. But the village chief there, he was so adamant that he needed a rope pump that he asked Planet Aid's representatives there, which they actually contract with another teachers group organization called DAP Malawi. So he asked DAP Malawi for his own rope pump, and they said, fine, they would give it to him, but he had to pay $100. And it turns out that cost him 2 years to pay off.
Wow. Okay, so this organization, Planet Aid, that here in the United States we know mostly, at least visually, through these clothing donation bins, I understand also happens to have lots of sort of offshore subsidiaries that are likely stashing away money that they're making from these various projects.
Yeah, we know about some of them. I mean, we do know we were able to find, have documents that show money going from to an account in a bank in Switzerland that says DAP Malawi accounts. Again, DAP is the teachers group organization Planet Aid contracts with in Malawi. And we saw several others. We're still working on that, tracing those through, and hopefully we'll be able to come out with some more clear information on that in the future, how each of them, you know, trace from one to another. But we did speak to an account, or the controller of the Malawi project. He worked at the project in Malawi for a year, and he said within 50 to 70% of the money was ending up somewhere else.
Wow. How is it that the USDA didn't do due diligence to find out what this organization was about? I mean, if the teachers group was already under investigation in, you know, in the Netherlands for some years now, if there had been even the slightest hint of something not quite right, how is it that the USDA gave our tax dollars to this organization?
Right. You know, and then that was a question we asked a lot. I mean, the first question is, well, maybe they just didn't know. And in fact, we know that that's actually not the case. We spoke with a woman, and it's actually a funny story. Her name is Chris Alange. We've cited her in the story and she had a 12-year-old daughter who was doing a research project for school. And so she wanted to help her with her project, and the Planet Aid bins had showed up in Lawrence, Kansas, where they lived. So she wanted to look into them. She started looking into their taxes and then eventually found this whole thing with the teachers group and that they were associated with Planet Aid, found the FBI documents from the Danish investigation, and ended up sending them to the USDA. As soon as she found out that the USDA was giving U.S. tax dollars to this organization, she felt like something needed to be done. I talked to Ron Krushorn, who was working with the USDA at the time. He's still with the USDA. I don't think he works as directly with the Planet Aid project anymore. But he said that they had received that FBI document linking Planet Aid to the teachers group, saying that a lot of the money didn't end up where it was supposed to go. And yet we FOIA'd their documents and looked through plenty of them. And later, when other people at the USDA started to raise more and more questions, they asked for an investigation, but the Office of the investigating party there, they decided not to do an investigation because they didn't think that there was enough criminal activity or evidence of fraud.
Wow.
So Andy Peterson's criminal history is a little surprising.
So there's also a link with the Clinton Global Initiative in this entire story. The Clinton Global Initiative works around the world. Obviously, Bill and Hillary Clinton's foundation. How does it figure into this whole story?
Yeah, it's interesting. Marie Lichtenberg, which is a name that's probably unfamiliar to most of your listeners, I'm sure to ours, but she actually is very, very high up in Planet Aid in the teachers group, and also runs one of the other teachers group organizations based in Zimbabwe called Humana People to People. She actually, her home that her family lived in when she was a child was purchased by the teachers group, by Tvind. We went to visit it in Denmark. Her brother is also involved in the organization. He runs a furniture company in China, but is proudly a member of the organization. Marie Lichtenberg is the main fundraiser for Planet Aid in the United States. She also, but she also in this other role for Humana People to People, is a member, that organization, Humana People to People, is a member of the Clinton Global Initiative.
Wow.
And the situation with the Clinton Global Initiative is they don't give out money. So what she does is she goes there and it's a meet and greet. Once they give you the stamp of approval, you can, you go around and you're able to use any, to make money for your organization. And so that's what she's done. And we were able to look at what she called a master plan, or what is called by the group a master plan. It's a document that we were able to obtain. And I think it was 20 pages long, and the word Clinton appeared 20 times.
Wow. Okay, I want to talk about the PR that Planet Aid does. Since the face of this organization, the teachers group in the U.S. is Planet Aid and are these bins, it is a very slick campaign. I mean, if you look at their website, Planet Aid has, and if you look at their Twitter feed, they juxtapose these boxes that they want people to donate their used goods into with the faces of happy, smiling African children. They've got the slogan, do the drop. In fact, let's play a video from their website of their sort of little slick ad about these boxes and how they will benefit African children. And for our radio audience, the words on the screen say, donate your unwanted clothes and shoes to support those less fortunate. It shows Americans
do the drop.
Saying things like do the drop. And there's blue skies and clouds and bags of clothing with the words recycle. We recycle or reuse all items. Images of people actually sorting clothes, and eventually and this idea that you reduce greenhouse gases by donating used clothes and reducing the need for having to produce new clothes.
Do the drop.
So Amy Walters, this specific organization has this very slick veneer of saving the planet in multiple ways. Combating climate change, making Westerners feel good about dumping their clothes for a good cause, and helping developing countries, African nations, African children, those, smiling black and brown faces of these deserving children who need it. And I'm wondering what you make of what looks to be a very slick PR campaign.
It's interesting. I've seen several of their videos putting together what we did was an hour-long radio documentary, which is a podcast now that's up, and I encourage you to listen to, because hearing those voices from Africa is so important to the story. But several of those Africans in the videos, that the chief of the village I was referring to, he was in one of their videos, and he actually told us, or told our correspondent that we were working with in Malawi, Kandani, that that what they had him say in the video simply wasn't true. They showed him with all these tomatoes that he had grown from the project. He said those tomatoes, he'd grown them himself before he even knew about the Farmers Club project, before he knew about Planet Aid. The other, another person we spoke to who was a project manager, he was also in one of the videos. I think at the time he was in the video, he was very encouraged by Planet Aid, but very quickly he turned. What, as soon as he was required to become a member of the teachers group, he was asked to give back a portion of his salary to the organization. He was asked to discontinue his religious beliefs, and he was told that he could very easily be separated from his family.
Wow. So, and I understand that your investigation is ongoing. Where can people read the writings that you and your collaborators have done on this project regarding Planet Aid?
Sure. We've done about three or four different stories on different aspects. As you probably tell from this conversation, it's a very complicated story, and there's more to unravel. But you can find our reporting on revealnews.org/teachersgroup/. And then, like I said, there's a podcast, and I would really encourage you to hear that. You can really hear the voices of these Africans. We confront a few members of the teachers group in it and ask them, you know, what's happening, what's going on there. We also talk to the USDA and try to ask them why they continue to be involved. And you can find that on wherever you listen to podcasts. But again, it's Reveal News, and I believe it's Alleged Cults Play Shell Game. But it's on our website now.
We'll post a link to it from our site as well later today. Amy, thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
My guest is Amy Walters, an award-winning journalist, a reporter, and producer for Reveal. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.